Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Church This Morning. Welcome if you're in Henty. Welcome if you're over in Lockhart. And welcome if you're online this morning as well. In Psalm 139, we read these words. For you created me in my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. That's what we do this morning. We come together to praise the God who made us wonderfully, and to think about him, to fill our mind with the things of God. So we're going to do that in a song to start with this morning. Somebody's put some of these words to Psalm 139 to music for us. So we're going to sing that. Obviously, if you're in the church, if you just want to hum along or sing very, very softly, that would be great. If you're on the songbook, we're on page number 87, Psalm 139.
Where I to cross from land to land and sail afar by sea, descend the depths or climb the heights, my Lord remains with me. Before the blood ran in these veins, the days ordained for me were written in your book, O Lord, before I came to be.
Blessing it is to be reminded that wherever we go, God is with us. Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 to 21. If you're in the church in Henty, we're on page 745. Isaiah 59, 1 to 21, and Florence is going to read that for us this morning. Thanks, Florence.
Isaiah 59 from verse 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. We all growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice, but find none, for deliverance, but it is far away. For our offences are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offences are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants. From this time on and forever, says the Lord.
Thanks, Florence. Let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder this morning that you made the world, including us, that we are wonderfully made, that we are made in your image, that we are made to reflect your glory, that we are made to worship you and to honour you. But Father, we realise, as we've just read, our offences are many in your sight and our sins testify against us. We look at our lives and we see the sin before us. We look at our world and see the injustice that occurs, that truth is pushed down and not taken seriously. Father, we pray this morning that you would forgive us for our sins, for all those times where we have not honored you, where we've disobeyed you, where we have robbed you of your glory. Father, we know that there is nowhere to go, nowhere to run, and nowhere to hide when it comes to our sin. That even if we descend to the depths or the highest heights, you are there. You know our every thought, you know our every deed, you know our every word. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your right hand has reached down and brought salvation for us. That, Father, when we were lost in our sin, you stepped down to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are so ever grateful that you have shown us the way of truth, the way of light, and the way of life through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are humbled that he died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to you. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you might help us to appreciate all that your Son has done for us in dying. That you give us a greater sense of what he gave up so that we might have life and light and grace and peace in his name. Thank you for our Saviour. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We have a few announcements for this week. There's a shortage of staff in the technical department this week. So no Bible study for ladies, no Bible study for men, and no greenhouse. Rest assured, the technical staff will be back next Sunday. During the week, there was some changes to the restrictions, but most of those were to do with outside restrictions, to do with things like carols and Christmas celebrations. There was no changes to any of the internal restrictions. So next Sunday, all the same restrictions will apply at Henty, and we're hoping and praying and certainly advocating at the higher levels to get some of those restrictions removed. So next Sunday will be the same restrictions that we currently have in Henty and the same restrictions we currently have in Lockhart. A couple other things. If you're in Henty on your way out, there's a box at the back. If you'd like to make an offering for the work of the Lord, that would be great. If you'd like to give online, the details are in the email that Amy sent out. And if you've missed something, you can always log on to the website and be updated. You can get access to all the videos and latest audio as well. Kids talk time. Yeah, I know. It's great, isn't it? That's what we need, a generation of young people who want to sit at the front of the church. I think that's great. All right. I'm going to show you four pictures. What do these four pictures have in common? First picture. Money, very good. Next picture. Yep, hats, glasses, shorts, jumpers, yep. Boxes, books, yep. Books, yep. No. Yeah, okay. Things in your brain, okay. What do those four things have in common? Yes, James. What do you reckon? All learn? No, not quite. Yes? Okay, not quite. Not quite the answer I'm looking for. Do you want a clue? I'm thinking of a four-letter word. Starts with L. No, ends in T. No, and has OS in the middle. It is. They're all things that we lose. We lose our money. We lose our glasses, we lose our hats, we lose our jumpers, we lose books, and we lose things that are in our mind. They kind of fly out. Now, if you've lost something, what do you do? You do. Next slide. You make a search until you find it, and then what happens when you found it? You don't necessarily use it. You, next slide. You have a party. You rejoice that what has been lost has been found, okay? Now, let me tell you a story. This is a story that Jesus used. Next slide. So there was a lady, and she had 10 coins, and, next picture, she lost one. And, of course, what did she do? Next picture. She went for a search. She searched up. She pulled up everything. She turned her house upside down. She turned herself upside down. And eventually she found it and she threw a party. Okay, something was lost, something was found, and then there was a party. You've got it. You've got it, James. Next slide. Now the question is, why did Jesus tell us this story? Okay, we lose things all the time. We know the idea. We lose something, we try and find it. We rejoice when we find it. Why did Jesus tell us this story about a lady who lost one of her coins? And the answer is because it's actually a story about us. It's actually a story about us. Next slide. Because the Bible teaches us that our sin, the things that we do wrong against God, makes us lost when it comes to God. Okay? But God, next slide, loves the loss so much that he searches and searches and searches for us because he loves us. Next slide. And he loved us so much that Jesus came and died for us on the cross. This is what Luke says. Next slide. He says, for the Son of Man, who's the Son of Man? It is Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost, to seek and to save those who were lost in sin. And when people turn back to Jesus, you know what happens? There is a party. There's a party in heaven when lost sinners come back to Jesus. So it's actually a parable about what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love lost sinners, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to call us back to you and to die for our sins. We thank you that you care for the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys going out for your activities? If you're in jam, I think you're staying in here. Yes, there's a few nods. Thank you. Our song is, there is no other name of which there can be salvation but through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're on the songbook, we're on page number 19, No Other Name.
Strength to cast out fears, no other name.
life's night, my broken soul's delight. No other name but Jesus, Jesus. There is no victory but Jesus crucified. No other cure for sin but that our Savior died. No other hope we have but that He rose again. My joy in sorrow's tears, my strength to cast out fear.
Let us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is no other name but through the Lord Jesus through which people can be saved. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that that message would go out into all the world, that people would know that without the Lord Jesus, they are lost and in sin, but that Jesus offers them so much more, that Jesus offers them forgiveness and eternal life. And so we pray for this morning for the strengthening of your church and your people, that the message of the Lord Jesus may go out to the ends of the earth. Father, help us here in our towns as we take that message out through scripture, through conversations that we have with people during the week. Father, through the many activities that we do as a church. Father, we pray that the name of Jesus might be highly exalted and lifted up. Father, help us to grieve over people who know the truth, but Father, refuse to believe it and refuse to follow the Lord Jesus. Father, may you melt the coldness of people's hearts. May your word be planted in their hearts and grow and take root. For your honor and glory, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for each one of us. Many of us have many needs. Father, and many of us in our congregation who are struggling with sickness and illness. Father, be with those particularly in our church family who are in hospital this day. Father, may your love and comforts be with them, and may they know your peace. Father, for those of us in our congregation who are worried and anxious, Father, may they turn to you with their concerns and requests and know that you are a God who listens, a God who cares, and a God who hears. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for those who are suffering from coronavirus right around the world. Father, the numbers keep going up and up. We thank you that there is good news for vaccine on the horizon. But Father, we thank you again that it is always a reminder that you are in control of this world. We thank you for our government who has led us during this pandemic. Continue to give them wisdom and guidance at all levels of government. We thank you for the peace and stability that we have in this land. And Father, we know of so many nations where that is not the case. Father, we pray this morning that you might help us to count our blessings. Father, we think of this time and season and the harvest that is before us. We thank you that it is looking so good. We thank you for that blessing. Thank you for the blessing of friends and family, for even being able to gather together as your people to worship you. Father, help us to remember that through the Lord Jesus and being united to him, we have every spiritual blessing that we'll ever need. And so, Father, as we live lives that seek to please you, may we continue to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Our passage this morning is Luke 15, 1 to 10. Luke 15, 1 to 10. We're on page 1048 from the church at Henty, and Florence is going to read that for us. Thanks, Florence.
Luke chapter 15 and starting from verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Thanks, Florence. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, these are familiar words. We've probably read them many times, but we pray this morning you might help us to mind their richness, that we might see new things in your word that might encourage us and help us to rejoice. So guide us as we look at your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with the decline in newspapers has come the decline of entries in newspaper classifieds, and in particular the lost and found section, which means we miss some of the classic entries. Now, one such as these: lost, pet tarantula, named Conrad, last seen, floor 2, McIntyre Hall. Conrad is a very friendly tarantula. He likes to sit on your shoulder and play hide and seek. If you see him, do not scream. He is very friendly. Please do not squish him either. Or this one: missing pet turtle and nunchucks. Appears slow, but is very dangerous. Will come home eventually, but evildoers beware. I'm sure we've all had stories of something we have lost. Car keys, money, computer files, records, books, you name it, we've probably lost it at some stage. Losing things is one of those frustrating parts of life. So what do you do when you lose something? Well, you search for it and you try and find it. Today we come to Luke 15, where we have three parables about things that are lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now we're going to look at the first two today and the last one next week. And these are familiar stories to us. Now, many of us probably remember doing these time and time again in Sunday school. They resonate with us because we lose things all the time. But as we look at these parables today, hopefully we will be able to engage with a new freshness, which will help us to not only understand the parables, but rejoice in the picture it paints of God. Now, in order to understand these parables, we need to first understand the context. And the context is given in verse 1, where Luke tells us that the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him, that's Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, you may remember when we restarted Luke a couple of weeks ago in chapter 14, that Jesus was at the home of a prominent Pharisee, but at the same time who's been carefully watched. And this was the trigger for Jesus to give some meal tips and to tell the parable of the wedding banquet, which showed that these religious heavies were in serious danger of missing entry into the kingdom of God. Not only that, the parable Jesus told showed that the people they least expected to be there, they're the ones who'll be sitting down at this feast. People like the tax collectors and the sinners, the outcast of society, they will be the ones at this feast. And now Jesus is not only welcoming these types of people, he's sitting down with them, eating with them as a foretaste of what is to come. Now you need to remember that tax collectors back then, they were absolutely hated individuals. They worked for the Roman government and they would pocket extra money for themselves. They were considered traitors and fraudsters. There's no way that the religious leaders would hang out with such people. But Jesus did, and it infuriated them. But what infuriated them even more was that Jesus was prepared to have a meal with them. Having a meal together was an indicator of friendship. It was a big deal in the ancient world to have people over as a sign of acceptance. So how could Jesus accept such people as the sinners and the tax collectors? How could Jesus favor these people over the religious leaders? Has he lost the plot here? Well, Jesus tells these parables because it is in fact the religious leaders who've lost the plot. They've lost sight of what the kingdom of God is all about. They have lost focus on who God is and what he requires of people. Jesus tells these parables to indicate to them that they are completely lost and in grave danger. So we have two parables, very similar, and there are a couple of things we should note. The first is we have something that is lost. We have one lost sheep and one lost coin. Losing something is nothing new. But the thing that makes these parables so interesting is that once something is lost, there is this diligent search to find what was lost. Let's have a look at verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And then in verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 coins, silver coins, she loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Now, some of you may recall that I took some study leave during this year, and I did this course on wisdom literature with a lecturer named Tremper Longman III from America through our college in Sydney. Now, I actually did the course for credit, which means that I had to actually write two essays. Now, at our college, most of the lecturers believe in some form of original sin. So if you're getting 85 or above, which is a high distinction, you are doing really, really, really well. Anyway, I nailed these two essays. 86 out of 100 for the unit. I shocked myself. I even shocked my wife. Anyway, when the official paperwork came through, I was given a final mark of 78%. Somehow, I'd been downgraded almost 10% in my final grade. What happened was the person who was marking these assignments had never marked anything for the college before, and had become way too generous with the marks, and so they had to recalibrate all the marks down, which affected all of the class. Now, initially, I was upset, but I quickly came to the conclusion that 78% is still a very good mark. And while I could argue the point or ask for a remark, really I should just wear the fact that I just got scaled down. I had lost marks, but it wasn't worth doing anything about it. And that's what happens to a lot of us. We lose something quickly, but then we just get to the point where we accept the loss and we just move on. Not in this parable. One sheep is lost. One out of 100. It's one sheep. But the owner of this sheep values this lost sheep very highly. He searches until he finds it. He's prepared to leave 99 sheep and search for the one lost sheep. A lot of effort for one sheep. If a man had 100 sheep back then, he was doing rather well financially. He could probably afford to lose a sheep or two with minimal impact. But instead, he chooses to search. Similarly, the lady with the coin. The word we translate coin is a drachma, which is roughly a day's wage back then. Not a huge amount, but valuable nonetheless. So what does this lady do? She gets out her lamp, she sweeps the house from top to bottom, and she searches until she finds it. She goes to considerable effort, substantial effort to find this coin. That's the value she puts on this coin, and she simply must find it. It's 1 out of 10. She could work tomorrow. She could get it back tomorrow by working, but no, she searches diligently until she finds it. So if we follow the pattern, we have something which is lost, then we have something which is found, and the next thing that happens is there's a party. There's joy. Verse 5. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home, and he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And again in verse 9. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Now let me assure you that when I lose my computer files, which I do regularly, either because I've deleted them accidentally or I've put them in the wrong directory, when I get them back, my reaction is one of relief rather than wanting to dance and have a party. But in these stories, there is a big party. In the case of the lost sheep, the owner throws this huge party. He invites his friends and family to join in the celebration. The lady who lost her coin, she calls her friends and neighbors and has a party. In both these stories, there is great joy. There's rejoicing over what has been found. And again, highlights the value that is being placed on what is lost. Both the man and the woman, they're overjoyed at discovering that what had been lost had been found. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. These are great stories that Jesus tells, but unless we gain the spiritual insight, they're just stories. So Jesus finishes these parables with some spiritual implications. Verse 7. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And in verse 10, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus says, in the same way. In other words, in the same way the lost sheep is found and there is great rejoicing, in the same way that a lost coin is found, and then there is much joy. So also, when a lost sinner is found and repents, there is great rejoicing in heaven. The key to understand these parables is that a sheep who wanders off is dreadfully lost. As we know, sheep are too easily disorientated to find their way home, and as soon as they stray, they're open to almost any danger. And in the time of Jesus, if a sheep wandered off, they would usually fall off a ledge or die of starvation, or they'd get torn apart by a wild beast. When they wander off, the only way back for them is to be rescued. In the same way, a coin which is lost, it stays lost until it is found by its owner. A lost coin has no way of making contact with its owner. If it is to be found, it needs help. So what Jesus is doing here is painting this picture of those who are lost spiritually. And that's a picture of all of us. These two parables, plus the one we'll look at next week, show that those who do not come to God through Jesus are totally lost. Totally lost when it comes to God. And as these three parables show, people get lost for different reasons. Just like the sheep, some of us simply wander away from the shepherd and we follow our own desires and instincts. The coin gets lost through no fault of its own. It simply probably fell down a crack or probably got knocked off the table. But we can never say that we're lost, being lost is someone else's fault. For example, people sinned against me and drove me away, or I was never taken to church as a child. They don't wash. And as we'll see next week, many of us, just like the son, get lost by our own deliberate will, making choices to walk down the path of rebellion. The point is that however it happened, people become lost because of sin. Sin causes people to be unused and no longer contributing to what we were made to be. In the same way that the sheep and the coin and the son become separated from their owner, sin separates us from God and we need rescuing. But the great news is that into that situation comes a loving God who searches for lost sinners and brings them back. Lost and lifeless, God in his great love seeks us out and offers us hope through his son, the Lord Jesus. It's a bit like that wonderful kids book by Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. Sam, I am persistently and somewhat relentlessly goes after the unnamed character who constantly refuses. I do not want green eggs and ham. Until the end of the book, where he finally accepts that offer and says, I do like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam, I am. God keeps searching for the lost. God keeps searching until we find Jesus. And when we do, there is inexpressible joy, a joy which lasts forever. There's no better feeling than knowing you are lost and finding Jesus who can save you and can rescue you. There's no greater thing than knowing you are forgiven for your sin and receive eternal life through Jesus. What a joy it is to the angels in heaven when they see a lost sinner come home. When Jesus speaks of rejoicing over one sinner who repents, he's not only speaking of the joy that the joy that angels have, but also the joy which they witness every time a sinner gets saved. Indeed, the angels witness the joy of God. So if you want to bring joy to the heart of God and to your own heart, you need to come to Jesus today. If you're not a believer, turn from your sin. Trust Jesus. Heaven is waiting to celebrate. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a tax collector or a sinner, whether you're despised, whether you're a well-respected and upright person. God welcomes home lost sinners. But if you have turned over your life to Jesus, then your challenge this morning is to welcome people like Jesus did. We're to have the same heart as the shepherd who went after that one lost sheep. We are to share in the joy of the Lord in our quest, with God's help, to seek and to save those who are spiritually lost. It means loving and praying for people until they trust in Jesus. And when they do, to share in the wondrous joy when sinners turn to Christ. It would be far too easy, just like the Pharisees did, to give up on people. They effectively saying that the tax collectors and the sinners, they were beyond the kingdom of God. They believed that they were beyond redemption. But this parable shows that no one is beyond redemption. It's hard to be compassionate as Christ was, searching and searching and searching for sinners until they become saved. But if we are friends with the Good Shepherd, we will learn his patience in the looking and share in his joy in the finding. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning that you love the lost and that you have sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die so that lost sinners can be found and come into eternal life with you. Father, we pray this morning that you might help us to play our part in your work of seeking and saving the lost, and to know the joy when sinners repent and turn back to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn to close our time together this morning is In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. If you're on the songbook, we're on page 14, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. No pain.
Brings us to the end of our time together this morning. If you're in the Henge Church, we have morning tea over in the hall, and we'll be back again next Sunday. Jesus said, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace.